Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, this time following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 28-14 win over the rival Auburn Tigers in the 89th plane of the Iron Bowl, this time at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Crimson Tide improves to 9-3 on the season. Kalen DeBoer's first as the head coach of the Crimson Tide. Alabama also 5-3 in the league, of course, not good enough to qualify for next weekend's SEC championship game. Got a quad box going on up here. So you guys keep it down. All right. I got to trying to watch this quad box while simultaneously doing aftermath. I kind of feel like you're probably in the same boat while this is going on, but Texas A&M and Texas in a play-in game for next Saturday's SEC championship game. Of course, we know Georgia Bulldogs are going to be on the other side of that one, but we're here to talk Iron Bowl. And for Alabama, I thought in some ways it was a performance that encapsulated the entire regular season. There were stretches where Alabama was dynamic, where Alabama was disciplined, where Alabama was dominant. I guess you could use the three D's right there. They're a little 3D-ish at times, but again, sustaining those type of performances, sustaining stretches of championship caliber play, it's been somewhat elusive for Kalen DeBoer's first team. And I thought at times that was the case again against Auburn. Now, first half, as we talked about on Spaces, if you joined us, we were on the Spaces halftime talk there at X, at Travis Ryer on X. We kind of got into it. Was almost as if you simultaneously felt like Alabama had left a lot of money on the table in the first half, but also given the turnover discrepancy, Alabama uncharacteristically in SEC play anyway, not doing itself any favor, but situational football was a friend of the Crimson Tide. Still wouldn't go as far as to say they were very good as complimentary football works. Third quarter, that was big. I thought coming out of halftime, we did see that for a stretch. Again, didn't really sustain it over the course of the entire second half, but it was enough to really effectively put the game away there after the halftime break. But first half, yeah, I mean, you're minus three in turnover margin and you're still up eight. You know, Jalen, he was kind of the solution and the problem again on Saturday. I thought for the most part, though, Jalen was what he needed to be. Second half, he still kind of got into some situations where he wasn't decisive. He was a bit hesitant. I think that really led to the fumble there in the second half that he had. Just not decisive enough in a situation where you just got to go get the first down, you know, and he kind of hesitated there and he ended up turning the ball over as a result of it. And we'll get to your comments on the program, by the way. We're trying to give everyone a chance to get in here. We're typically a little bit later going on because, as I've said before, I like to hear from Kalen post game before I jump on here. It's not a rush for me as much, but not anything earth-shattering coming from Kalen, and that's probably what you would expect. And you could tell the game, the rivalry had a bit of an impact on the intensity. There's no doubt ratchets up. I know the whole throw the record books out the window and all that stuff is often overused, and more often than not, the best team in this series wins the football game. Now, it doesn't mean the games are any less competitive. This game, for a game played in Tuscaloosa, was very competitive, because what we've seen over the last 15, 18 years in this series in Tuscaloosa is that Alabama just absolutely lays waste to the Tigers. Didn't really have that feel to it. Although at 28-6 there in the third quarter, the game did feel as if Alabama was very much in control. Although I think even for you as an Alabama fan, you probably are maybe having some trust issues even up 28-6 against a 5-6 Auburn team. But again, not perfect football in the first half. I thought Jalen threw the ball especially well. You know, had the drop by Ryan on what should have been an explosive play touchdown. Jeremy Bernard, if there was a Jeremy Bernard game this year, this might have very well have been it. I thought he was sensational throughout the game. The tight ends came up big when needed. C.J. Dupree Speaking of some nice balls that Jalen gave his guys to work with, CJ probably should have come down, made a nice adjustment to the ball in the middle of the field, but it's a play he would probably tell you he's got to make. Tried that one hand it there at the end, wasn't able to control it, wasn't able to survive the ground with the football. But hey, you know, never undervalue a win in this series. I don't care what the other side is. You take them and you run with them, especially when they're historic and putting you in a situation of a 5-game winning streak in this series, because that just doesn't happen all that often, you know. The last time I saw that in Bryant-Denny Stadium, Tommy Tuberville was running around with five fingers in the air. I'm sure a lot of you have tried to forget that, but Tommy, somehow he didn't make it to the stadium Saturday to celebrate that for Alabama amongst his constituency. Alabama, though, running the football, Jalen, you know, it was kind of that sort of stat line for him that typically equates to wins minus the turnovers. And defensively, I thought for the most part, Alabama did what it needed to do, especially, again, in plus territory situations, red zone opportunities for Auburn. Alabama defensively did what it needed to do, especially without Deontay Lawson. You know, I worry about Jarquez Hunter every time I see him on a football field, because I think he has that type of ability for whatever reason. Hugh Freeze, I know that Jarquez, when you look at his numbers this year, they still look great, but he would be a 250 carry back for me probably. And that's just not what Hugh does. I mean, when you really think about Hugh Freeze and running backs, can you really think of a great back that has played for Hugh Freeze? It's always about the quarterback. And even when it was Bo Wallace, you know, at Ole Miss, it was more that kind of guy. But really looking forward to your thoughts and your comments and questions following Alabama 28, Auburn 14. We will get to those very quickly here. David, he's not messing around. After the events of the college football Saturday, David asks, what do you think Alabama's odds are of making the college football playoff if SMU wins out? I think if you're talking about it in relation to what happens in the ACC, and that's what it's contingent upon, then Alabama should be in good shape regardless. Now, do I think that's actually how it would play out if Clemson beats SMU and then the potential then for two ACC teams? I think the ACC, after what we've seen, should be a one-bid league regardless of what happens next weekend. If Clemson wins after Miami lost again today, up at Syracuse, I can't find anything about Miami's resume that tells me they're a legit P4, you know, at large. And I kind of feel that way about Clemson and SMU at this point. So to answer your question, though, I do think the scenario would be better for SMU to go ahead and win it based on win-loss record. Kind of where they sit and just knock Clemson all the way out as a 4-loss team. But to me, with Clemson and Miami losing today, they should both be out for sure. But, you know, Clemson obviously still has that path, that automatic. It just, I don't know. Big 12 is the same thing for me. It shouldn't even, Big 12 ACC really should be treated like group of fives. You know, like Boise, in terms of if they qualify or not based on their leagues. Also, David asks, what do you think? Well, he asked it again. So there you go. Sully checking in here, 462, Sully 462, says four turnovers and still came out on top. Yeah, you did. And again, it kind of flew in the face of, you know, what we've seen from Alabama in SEC play. Haven't always played great in SEC play, but have played pretty clean where turnovers are concerned. Probably had a few too many penalties in this game against Auburn. Although, you know, again, some of those, especially the brouhaha on the Auburn sideline, I don't like that. I think that's a bad look, I guess. And I don't think it's an old head approach at all. I get it. And I understand that particular situation because you got Devontae Smith and a wide receiver locked up, and the wide receiver's taking him into the fence, basically, So, you know, I understand how that gets started. But even if you're basing that on Devontae's reaction to it, you know, there was a situation involving Malachi over there. I couldn't exactly tell who for Auburn, but it looks like, you know, Malachi was getting it pretty good over there. So I didn't understand how that was not, how that was not both ways on the flags. And I think Kalen felt the same way there, as we heard from him post game, sort of reiterated that after the game was over. So yeah, it was by no means a perfect performance. Tough day for Ryan Williams in a lot of ways. You still got to keep going to him. I thought early in the third quarter, it was good to see them go to him in kind of the quick game and, you know, get him some touches where he can still impact the game. He was okay on punt returns. But again, Bernard was great. Bernard was great. I thought Jam Miller, you know, played with the required toughness, the offensive line. Not sure that group's gotten better over the course of the season. I don't think they're bad. I don't think they're necessarily worse, but I don't think they're better. I don't think Caden Proctor's gotten better. You know, this offseason is going to be huge for Caden because he really didn't, I don't think he really had one. It didn't seem like, right? In the whole deal between Iowa and coming back to Tuscaloosa and all those things, that dude needs an intense offseason. I just wonder about his ability, even late in halves, to sustain at this point, right? His fundamentals kind of come apart, probably gets a little worn down. It's going to be a big offseason for him. There's no doubt he's got the tools. He does some good things, even in this game. But same thing with right tackle. Right tackle situation has really never gotten better. They've tried to kind of play around it, kind of band-aid that thing. It was a tough start for Elijah Pritchett. Formby came in. We saw Formby in both halves. It's almost like they're kicking the can a little bit with right tackle. You know, Jaden Roberts has been injured throughout the season, so Geno Vandermark continues to rotate in there. You know, I thought they were okay. But again, I don't, for probably a variety of reasons, I don't think that they've necessarily improved on that offensive line. Defensively, again, I think you look at Malachi Moore with a very nice game. What was it? Three pass breakups. I think it was three in the first half for Malachi. Had the big hit on Jarquez Hunter. Yeah, Alabama had five pass breaks. Damani Jackson, I thought, played with the physicality needed. I like to see that from him. That was one of the things I wondered about with Damani Jackson a little bit coming in from SC. I think as the season's gone on, we've seen even more of that from him. Alabama did have eight quarterback hurries, just one sack. That one sack came from big Tim Keenan, who left the game injured there in the second half. Didn't look like it was severe or serious, and we didn't hear anything from Kalen DeBoer on that postgame. But five quarterback hurries for Alabama in the game. So that was a productive stat for the Crimson Tide. So now it's a waiting game for Alabama. You wait. You kind of see what this committee's going to do. You needed some things to happen in front of you. Well, we know one big one happened, at least one. You know, as far as the rankings go, Clemson went out. But I guess as far as the projected bracket was concerned, that really wasn't the help you needed. In fact, you know, it probably helped South Carolina's case more than it did Alabama's. But Miami going down, I don't think there's any doubt about that. That absolutely should have helped Alabama. Trent Wade checking in. Travis, what's good? What's good, Trent? How are you doing? We've got a 7-0 Texas lead out in College Station, by the way. Too close for comfort. Hey, they covered. How about that tackle by Bray Hubbard late? Yeah, if you had Alabama minus the whatever and a half, whether it was 11, whether it was 13, you probably like that tackle there inside the 10. Four turnovers is unacceptable, Trent says. Sorry if you already addressed it. I am late. You think this was Jalen's last game in Bryant-Denny Stadium? Hard to say. I went into the season thinking this would be Jalen's last season. Now, what's real? What isn't? I say that with the NFL and feedback in mind. You know, I know Mel Kiper has Jalen rated as the number three quarterback for the 2025 draft. You know, that's great if that's real. But what's real is what you get back from the teams. But I got to think if he really is a top three, four, even five quarterback, it might be tough for him to come back for another year. It's a look, it's a complicated legacy if this was it for Jalen Milroe. And I'm just not one of these people that feel like it's been an abject failure. Has it been a bit of a roller coaster ride? Sure it has. But there's been other quarterbacks that have been through that program that have been in those type of situations. And when you look at wins, you know, you look at signature type quarterback wins, he's 2-0 in the Iron Bowl, with one of those being one of the most iconic plays maybe in all of college football history last year. He's 2-0 against Georgia, and he is and he's won an SEC championship. Has he had some rough spots? Absolutely. A week ago tonight in Norman was very rough. Knoxville was rough. You know, and I know a lot of people will say, well, what, Alabama's lost five games with Jalen? Well, Alabama's lost five games. You know, you could say Jalen's lost five games, but Alabama's lost five games over the last 2 years, which is not normal, as we know. Chad checking in here in the comments. You're more than welcome to do so as well. Fear the thumb, Chad says, after Bama wins the fifth straight Iron Bowl in this stretch. Nathan, 844. Nathan, 1844. He's not feeling it with Bama as a playoff team. He says Bama is not a playoff caliber team. We had potential to be, but for some unknown reasons, we didn't get consistent effort throughout the season and poor coaching. Nathan, 1844. It's going to be an interesting offseason. I X'd this or tweeted or whatever during the course of the game when, you know, when you have stuff like, and again, I didn't feel like it was all Bama in that situation over on the Auburn sideline. It was just kind of an eye opener. And I'm not a revisionist historian at all where the Saban era is concerned, because I know that happens a lot. Well, that didn't happen when Nick was a coach. Well, a lot of these things did. But then you get like a personal foul after an interception and, you know, things like that, that just, you got to clean up. You know, I think it goes back to what kind of standard are you setting on a daily basis? All we see is Saturday. What are you doing day in and day out? And I don't care really how you do it, as long as I see, when I do get to watch or you get to watch, we see it show up. Hadn't seen that enough this year. Chad checking in says, we don't deserve a playoff bid. Man, you guys really don't want to go to the playoffs. I want one. Now, he does say that, Chad does. But, man, you got to win the games. That simple. Disappointing season overall. I know when you live in the Bama vacuum, and I get it, when you think about this season for Alabama, that 9-3 record and the opportunities you had against some teams that are 5-6 loss teams like Oklahoma and Vanderbilt, just win one of those and we're not even having the discussion tonight. Just one. But as I said earlier, you start checking out, what about Penn State even? I mean, Penn State has a chance. I, you know, they'll probably need to win, beat Oregon. What's Ohio State done this season? I mean, and if Ohio State hadn't really done anything, what the hell has Penn State done this season? I mean, there's some awful resumes in terms of wins. Now, okay, you lost one game or you lost two games. To me, you could have Ohio State in the sit out conversation just as easy as you could have Miami. Because I, you know, I still don't know, who did Ohio State beat this year? I guess Penn State on the road. Yeah, that's great. And who the hell is Penn State beating this year to this point? It's rough, man. You know, the Big Ten's kind of just being quiet over there to the side. They're letting everybody else sort of slug it out about whether or not the SEC should get four teams or should the ACC get two, right? Meanwhile, you got teams in the Big Ten other than Oregon. What the hell have they done? Who is Indiana beaten this year? I guess you can say Michigan after today. And that's why I say, too, never, never undervalue wins in a rivalry like this. Because ask Ohio State about that tonight. Ohio State at home against a subpar Michigan team and couldn't get the job done with a total free agency all-star lineup. And I apologized earlier to Jake Coker for making the comp of Will Howard to him back about 6 months ago. Yeah, my bad. But we can talk about the Big Ten all day. Is the Big Ten really a four-bid league? It don't look like it to me. One Alabama mafia checking in here. The undisciplined play is not acceptable. Too much talking from our players after routine plays, sometimes after chunk plays. When players don't care how it affects a team, it's a problem. That's where I do draw the line, too. I'm not the guy who doesn't want any emotion or joy or excitement, right? But there is that line, you know? And I get it. I get Devontae Smith was hot because a guy took him into the stands over on the Auburn sideline. But everything that kind of came after that, and it didn't feel like there was anybody there that could kind of harness it or, you know, kind of help him kind of get down off of that. That is where, for me, it becomes problematic too. Nobody's saying you shouldn't play with energy and emotion. But there is the line, and I think you put it pretty well there, where it crosses over into detriment to the greater good, and you can't have that. Bob Rutherford checking in. Bob always keeps it short and sweet. We love hearing from Bob here on the program as well. So hit us with those comments and questions. Again, it is Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to the channel as of yet, we certainly hope you'll go ahead. Hit that subscribe button right now. There is a notifications bell there too. If you'll hit that, you'll be alerted. Click on that. You'll be alerted to all of our programming as it drops here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Also, a thumbs up, a like always helps us tremendously. So we would appreciate that if you would do it. You know what else you got coming up here? What, in an hour? Hopefully an hour, because you know how those games can go, man, when you got them stacked at these events. Alabama, Oregon out in Vegas, championship game of that event. So you got that coming up. Wanted to talk about Alabama special teams a little bit. It was kind of a no news kind of night or day for Alabama special teams, and that's probably not the worst thing. James Burnup, 3 punts for 42-yard average. Had all three of those down to inside the Auburn 20. Kendrick Law returned 2 kickoffs, averaged 27 yards. He did have that long of 32. Ryan Williams, 1 punt return for 8 yards. So, again, you know, kind of did your job. Graham Nicholson, if you're getting the job done in the red zone especially, which Alabama, 4 for 4. 4 red zone touchdowns. You'll take that percentage every day of the week. Nicholson's going to be more of a PAT guy, which is what you like. 4 fumbles for Alabama in the game. 3 of them lost. Of course, Ryan. Jalen had a couple fumbles. And the situational performance of the defense. Give Kane Womack and his guys a lot of credit, because we all heard all week how it wasn't good. And I know some people semi-defended the defense after Oklahoma, but it wasn't good. And so when you look at third down and fourth down for Auburn, 4 of 13, excuse me, on combined third and fourth down plays in terms of conversions for Auburn in the game. You can win with that. And when you go 12 of 18, on offense where third downs are concerned, you're going to probably win doing that. Now, what helps, and we talked about this last week in relation to the Oklahoma game, was first down efficiency was not good for Alabama in Norman. You know, it was like 3 yards a play on first down. Meanwhile, Oklahoma was averaging, I think it was 7. And you think about first down efficiency tonight, in Tuscaloosa, Alabama averaging right around 6 yards per play. So, you know, those third downs, the average down to go was like 5.4 for Alabama, whereas last week it was almost 12 on third down. Average third down distance last week was 12 yards. This week it was 5.4. Meanwhile, for Auburn, the Tigers had average distance to go of 7.9. So that's a number that helps you with those third downs. I thought, again, you know, for Alabama defensively, a lot of this was going to come down to really how they responded to tempo. Figured Auburn would go fast. And then the quarterback running back dynamic, Peyton Thorne and Jarquez Hunter. Hunter ends up going for 13 for 56. I think he had 10 for 55 in the first half. So just three carries for 1 yard in the second half. Kind of kept the explosives to a minimum with him. He only averaged 4.3. I mean, Jarquez Hunter, the last two games in this series, has averaged like 10 yards per carry. So 4.3 was certainly going to represent a winning effort for Alabama where he was concerned. Peyton Thorne, 10 carries, 42 yards. Thorne did throw for 301, but he averaged a little more than 7 yards per attempt. So he didn't really kill you with that. And then Jalen, even with the drops, I mean, you think about what Jalen's yards per attempt would have looked like if Williams holds on to the 55-yarder. If Dupree finishes the play there at the goal line, Jalen threw for 256 on 24 attempts. You know, so that's 10 plus an attempt. That's championship caliber Jalen. When he's at that number in yards per attempt and he eclipses 100 rushing yards and gets in the end zone three times running it, Alabama's win-loss record typically going to be pretty good. Jeremy Bernard, again, 7 catches, 111 yards. And then the tight ends that we talked about, nearly 100 yards for Dupree, Cuevas, and Oots. It was 8 catches for 92 yards. Not bad for the tight ends on Saturday afternoon at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Let's see here. Nathan checking back in. Nathan, 1844. Offensive line play is substandard, one of the, if not the biggest in college football. He has said this before. He's not happy with the lack of athleticism, we'll say, in this Alabama offensive line. Yeah, I mean, they sometimes certainly look more like maulers, we'll say, to put it kindly. Not always light on their feet. That's why I said earlier, I think, you know, for Caden, if he wants to be a legit three and out, which he'll have every opportunity to be, it's the big off season for him coming up. Bino checking in. He says Malachi played his best game ever at Bama. It was up there. I would say it was up there, Bino. He was called for a late hit too over on the Auburn sideline. That was one of those, I think, that it really came down to which sideline it happened on. It happened over on the Auburn sideline. So, you know, everything that the refs are getting over there, it's probably more likely to result in one against Alabama in that situation. Sully, 462, back in the day, 9-3 was a great season. Yeah, I didn't know this either, but in the press conference, it was mentioned that Kalen's 9 wins tied him for the most by a rookie head coach at Alabama. Now, look, most of the times when you're replacing, when you're a successor, you're not replacing, you know, a guy that was a, you know, had his team in the college football playoff. So just from a talent perspective, you're thinking you're going to have to take some lumps that first year. And Alabama has taken some lumps this year, but still 9-3. If I'd have told you before the season, Alabama's going to beat Georgia and beat LSU on the road, I think 9-3 would have been the minimum you would have had for this football team through 12 games. Trent Wade checking back in. We seem to have a lot of undisciplined plays in almost every game. It sort of just seems to be a habit. Like, it's not addressed, setting the edge, not getting the quarterback, turnovers, et cetera. Yeah, you know, I think you still have to have some grace with a first-year staff. I think that's just the reality, you know, that it, especially when you're changing systems like this team has. And I think as good and as qualified as a lot of these coaches are, they can get fooled a little bit. They can get fooled in terms of, you know, guys that they inherit or even guys that they bring in and that whole clean slate thing. And everybody gets a fresh start. But sometimes it just reverts back to what it was. And that's what's going to be interesting about this offseason. Now DeBoer, now this staff, they have their own data within the program, from within the program, not what they inherited, not what they brought in, what they've worked with on a day-to-day basis, what they've seen in game situations. And, you know, now they have everything they should need to address areas of this football team that need to elevate if this is going to continue to be a program that is national championship relevant, not just college football playoff relevant, which make the tournament, that kind of means you're going to be CFP champion relevant. But you know what I'm saying. Are you really elite on a year in and year out basis? And I get it. It's never been harder. Transfer portal, all that stuff. It's not as easy as it was. But, you know, I'm poor Kalen DeBoer, and I'm not suggesting that there needs to be a cleaning of house with the staff or any of that. I don't believe that to be the case. But if he thinks there is an area or two, maybe even more, of this program after a season's worth of data is at his fingertips, needs to be upgraded or dealt with or addressed, don't wait. Don't wait for another year or two. Don't go, well, we'll give him another year. No, don't do that. Go ahead and do what you need to do or what you feel like you need to do. Zane Lee says here in the show chat, run game still very much is not good. How many times did we get stuffed today? Despite trying to really feature the backs, the tackles are particularly brutal. I thought there were times where it was good. I know people don't want to hear this, but I'm not sure. Well, I feel pretty sure. I feel pretty resolute in this. I love Jam Miller. I get why Justice Haynes was so heavily cuffed. I think they're really good backs. If you're going to try to convince me that these guys are sort of problem solvers like a Derrick Henry, are those kind of guys? They're not. Not yet. Maybe they will be. And it's easy to point to the offensive line. I'm not saying they're, like I said earlier, I didn't really see the improvement over the course of a 12-game season. But I think these are good backs. And I want Jam Miller, especially, on my team every day of the week. But sometimes you watch Jam, and it's that sort of, you know, sort of that twitch that backs have where they can make that first guy miss and kind of create some separation for themselves. You know, I don't always see that from him. And I love the guy. But I'm not as convinced as some people, I guess, that these are elite backs. I haven't seen that yet to make me feel like, oh, yeah, these guys are, you know, top five. Can the offensive line be better? Can the scheme concepts plan be better? I would think so. Sure. But I don't think these backs are sort of, you know, exclusive to questions about, you know, are they really what some people would have you believe they are? Brian Green checking in here in the show comments. It looked like Milroe tried to throw the game with all those turnovers. Yeah. But what about the dime he dropped to Ryan Williams that Ryan dropped? And again, the other ball to CJ that could have been a touchdown as well. The interception was not good. You know, at the time, the interception there, what was that, second quarter? Now, that was after Ryan dropped the deep ball on the post. So you already should have been in the end zone, but you're not. And even that ball kind of felt like an arm punt a little bit, like, well, it was third and long. You're going to be punting anyway. But the ball was at about the Auburn 35, so third and 14 right there, you'd almost rather see him just take 7 or 8 to the 28, and then you bring Nicholson out and maybe get some points there. So that you still weren't able to kind of explain that one away. What do we have here? No Serfdom says Sheridan definitely not qualified. Jury's still out on Kane Womack. I think the jury's still out on the entire football team after 12 games. I don't know how I can make any definitive statements about really anybody, good or bad. You know, again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier in terms of consistency. Living a Dream Life says DeBoer has to make ruthless moves this offseason. Replacing Sheridan, who will be a good coach one day, is a step in that right direction. Wow. Coming after Nick on here tonight. Yeah, I mean, I thought last week was not good offensively, just the plan in general. I really didn't have a problem with this week. I thought both halves, they tried to establish the backs, which a lot of folks have called for. I thought they had a good understanding of what Auburn was going to try to do, because protection kind of tells me that. Now, they had some individual L's in protection, or just in terms of execution, but I didn't watch it and go, wow, what was the plan there? What were they trying to even do there? I didn't feel that way this week. Let's see. What else do we have? Folks still not happy with that run game. I think it kind of is what it is right now, you know, and I don't think whether it's Nick Sheridan or whoever else, I think, you know, this is the kind of offense that's going to be quarterback centric. You know, whether it's Jalen next year or Ty Simpson or anybody else, it's still going to center around the quarterback, and they're going to be asked to carry a lot. And so even that will be interesting in terms of what we talked about earlier with data now and a sample size to work with. Not just with guys who were starters and in prominent roles this year, but just with your depth that you've seen on a daily basis. And there's going to be movement. I'm just thinking, I don't have any intel on this. Maybe as early as the next few days, you could start hearing this. There's going to be guys on the move. I think just from a skill position perspective, wide receiver, running back, I will not be surprised at all if there's guys on the move. And I know a lot of the blowback will go back to the coaching staff, but I'm just telling you, I don't necessarily see some of these guys like some folks do. Like, oh, they're great players, they're just not being utilized. Well, you know, maybe right now they're just average. Zane says he definitely feels like our pool scheme in the run game does not particularly fit our personnel. We seem to get blown up in the mesh or backfield more than normal. I think there's something to that. I mean, because just last year, you know, you were really selling the whole largest offensive line in college football. And Brailsford comes in. I think Brailsford is probably more along the lines of what Kalen would like his OL to be about maybe moving forward. I mean, you look at Washington's offensive line last year. Now, I know the answer to that is, well, can you win in the SEC with that kind of front? But I just don't think they're going to be a running back, Derrick Henry centric offense. I don't think hardly anybody is anymore. You know, look at the games today in college football. Look at Lenore Sellers for South Carolina. Yeah, Rocket Sanders has been good for South Carolina this year, but it's been pretty much Lenore Sellers and everything running through him, both in the run game and, you know, throwing the football. It's just the world we live in. Football world we live in these days. So, again, Alabama takes care of business 28-14 over the Auburn Tigers. I'll also say this about Kalen. I think this was important for him. And not just because it was his first Iron Bowl, right? I mean, obviously, there's a history for Alabama coaches of not winning that first Iron Bowl. But I think this was particularly important for Kalen, because if you don't win this one, then you got to go back down there next year and you could be looking at two in a row. And that's not the way you want to start as a head coach at Alabama. So you go ahead and you get you an Iron Bowl win, and you don't have to deal with that next year. So there you go. Hey, appreciate all you guys and gals for always joining in here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Chase Goodbread coming up here in the next couple of days with Talking Tide. Coach Smitty going to jump on with us this week. We'll sort of recap Alabama-Auburn and also look ahead to whatever's next. I mean, we'll have a reveal coming up this week before the championship games, kind of see where Alabama fits and all that. Said it earlier, if it's sort of a fourth SEC team or a even second ACC team, in my mind, it should be four SEC and one ACC, but we'll see what the committee has to say. Donald, before we out here, says Iron Bowl win gets you some credit. Yeah, I think that's good for Kalen. Ooh, lose that one. It's not just the Iron Bowl loss. You're 8-4. Also, that makes for some rough holidays. And look, you still got what looks to be a great recruiting class that's about to be put to bed. I know there's been some fluidity to that, but that's everywhere. You know, I did all of these breaking commitment pods back in June and July. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, we'll be doing a lot of these between now and December, just different players, you know? So a lot of things to look forward to, even in the next few days where Alabama football is concerned, but certainly Alabama hoops coming up here in about 40 minutes, we hope, out in Vegas. It's Alabama, Oregon, just like we all expected, right? Well, it's just Alabama, Oregon in hoops. Should be a fun one out in Vegas as Nate Oates' team looks to cap that event with a championship game win. Keep it locked right here on Ryer on YouTube. We'll continue to bring you content right here on the channel. And until next time, so long, everybody.